All right. Well, the wilderness areas of northern Canada are about as remote a place as you can find anywhere on our planet. And once a man got lost backpacking alone in an area of dense woods. And for hours he wandered around trying to find the logging road that would lead him back to where he was camping. And finally he came upon just this little narrow path overgrown with brush. And he followed this trail for a while until it came to a fork. He had to make a decision which way to go. And there at the fork was a handwritten sign staked out beside one of the two trails that he could take. And on the sign was a message written in bold letters: "This is the only way out." This is the only way out. And underneath those words was written the name of a man who had made the sign, and he was well known apparently in that area as an expert animal trapper. And this lost hiker wasn't sure, you know, he wasn't sure if he could trust that sign or its message. He felt tempted to choose the opposite path instead. But then he noticed that the sun was starting to go down, and he realized that he just had no better option. And so he followed the trapper's only way out, and eventually he found, much to his relief, the logging road that led him back to his camp just before darkness closed in around him. This is the only way to go. This is the only way out. Most of us get a little suspicious when we're told there's only one way to go or one way to do something. And even if we try another way and we end up being wrong, it's no great harm is done. But there's one time when questioning the direction that we should move in can prove to be fatal, not only for this life, but also for eternity. I'm talking about what God says about life itself and how to live life. His message about life and how to live it is a little bit like that trapper's sign. It's direct, it's absolute, it's very much to the point. And at different stages along life's journey, you and I face those inevitable forks in the road, don't we? And we've got to choose either to go God's way or to decide that we're going to go another way. And by the way, that's one way to think about communion, which we're going to celebrate together at the end of today's service. Every time we partake of the bread and the cup of Jesus, we affirm our choice, our decision, our resolve to walk God's way in life and to live God's way in life. That's part of what communion is all about. So in July and August, we're going to reflect together on several psalms that answer questions that we have about life and how best to live it. David wrote most of the psalms that we find in the Old Testament, and he wrote the one that we're going to meditate on today, which is Psalm 62. So I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible or find a pew Bible and turn with me to Psalm 62, and we're just going to look at it together, and then we're going to think about it and reflect on it in our time before communion. Psalm 62, and I'm going to begin reading at the first verse. "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. Now, there's something very direct, very certain, very absolute, very final about Psalm 62. One of the key words in it is a small one, both in the original Hebrew and also in English. In Hebrew, it's ak, A-K. And in English, it's simply translated only or alone. For example, David says this about God, for God alone has become my Savior. He alone is my safe place. Only God is my Savior, and he will not fail me. Trust only in God every moment. So here's a big question. In who or in what are we going to trust? Where, in what, or in whom do you put your ultimate security? Lloyd Ogilvie, pastor and an author, put it like this: those who trust in God only have him and everything else. Those who trust in God and anything else end up without him and nothing else. And that sums up the message of Psalm 62 pretty nicely. There are choices that you and I need to make about life and how to live it every day. And David's psalm reduces it down really to two fundamental choices. The first one is this: the God plus something else ways of life. The God plus something else ways of life. One of the great struggles in life, even for followers of Jesus, is to believe God is truly enough to meet all of life's demands and needs. Our brain tells us that God is sufficient. We have no trouble affirming that he's the only one that we can't afford to be or do without. But sometimes the way that we actually live out our lives tells a different story. We find ourselves developing a God plus something else way of life. God plus this, God plus that. And it's not that we reject God by any means, but we don't put our full and our final trust in him alone either. And so we want to add other people or things to strengthen our feeling of security and of safety. God plus something else. Sometimes, for example, we can buy into a God plus significant human beings way of life. We place our trust and security in other human beings. It might be a parent, a spouse, an adult child, close friends, or whatever. And when we start to expect other human beings to provide us fulfillment or meaning or joy or to meet our deepest needs in life, we're headed for disappointment. Why is that? Because we're asking people, human beings, to provide something that only God can ultimately provide. And yes, of course, we do need other human beings, and God brings some wonderful people into our lives who bless us with their love and their friendship. But there's a place of ultimate trust that only God can and should fill in your life and in mine. And David was aware of the temptation to put other people into a place that only God should fill, because he alludes to two reasons not to do it in this psalm. One, human beings, let's face it, folks, we're just unreliable, right? At best, You know, we can let each other down. At worst, we become each other's enemies, David said here. But look at these who want me dead, shouting their vicious threats at me. The moment they discover my weakness, they all begin plotting to take me down. And even when we try our best, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to hurt feelings. We're going to disappoint those who depend on us and love us. Just by nature, we're unreliable as human beings. And only God is always reliable. Only God never fails you and me. And of course, it's appropriate, it's healthy to trust other people up to a point. But God alone is ultimately trustworthy. God alone never fails. The second thing David points out here is that human beings don't live forever. David observed, before God, all the peoples of the earth, high or low, are like smoke that disappears, like a vapor that quickly vanishes away. Compared to God, they're nothing but vanity, nothing at all. And our short lives are just like a breath of air against the backdrop of eternity. And any and every human relationship, my friends, as wonderful, as loving, as fulfilling, as rewarding as that relationship may be, will come to an end in this life. But our relationship with God will never come to an end. God alone is eternal. And so there's a depth of trust that you should reserve only for Him and in Him. Another God plus something else way to live, we might call God plus human institutions way of life. This week, as we know, we're going to celebrate our nation's birthday once again. And of course, folks, go out and be patriotic. Thank God for our country. But as wonderful as our country might be, in some ways, America is not the kingdom of God. It never will be. One day, the United States of America will cease to exist. It's not eternal. And of course, love our country. But don't ever put ultimate trust or security in our government or a political party or a politician or our way of life. I frankly get a little distressed with some of my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and on both sides of the political spectrum, because I feel like sometimes we put our trust in a particular political party or a particular politician to deliver for our country or for us things that really only God can ever do. And that's inappropriate. It's putting our trust in human institutions. Now, I think the Bible talks against that, but it does tell us that we should pray for our country and pray for our leaders. I want to take a moment just in the message right now, and I want you to bow with me and pray with me for our country. I think it's appropriate, very appropriate, that we do that on this Sunday before the 4th of July. So would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we thank you today that you don't expect or call us to trust in our country, to trust in the institutions that have been created. But Lord, you do call us very clearly in your word to pray for our country, to pray for our leaders at any and every opportunity. And so Lord, today we want to give you thanks for the freedoms that we continue to enjoy to gather here on a Sunday morning to worship you, to live life unafraid, to believe what we believe, to put our faith and trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for those freedoms that we continue to enjoy in our country. We thank you indeed for the blessing that you have bestowed upon this country. And Lord, we also recognize that if we are going to continue to enjoy your blessings, that things are going to have to change in our country. There's going to have to be repentance. And Lord, you know better than we do. We so desperately need spiritual revival to sweep this land. not anything that we can work up or organize on our own, but just something that comes straight from heaven, straight from your Holy Spirit. Lord, we just long to see hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people swept into your kingdom because you have begun to move in our land. And Lord, we ask for that today. Father, we do pray for our leaders. We pray for our president, for his cabinet, for the Congress, for our state and local leaders. Lord, we may not always agree with what they do or what they say, but Lord, you have put them in those positions, and we just simply ask that you continue to work in and through them. And we lift them up before you today, Lord, because that's the right and appropriate thing to do. So we pray for our country, Lord, even as we refuse to put our trust in the human institutions that they represent. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And by the same token, folks, we don't put our trust in our military, our educational system, our business establishment, our free market economy, our scientific or technological power. All those are great. All of them have a place and a purpose. But all of them will one day come to an end. Only God lasts. Only God is eternal. David mentioned another possible God plus something else way of life, just sort of in a fleeting way. Call it the God plus stuff way of life. Most of us know in our heads that money and the things that money can buy won't make us happy. They won't provide real security. But so often our hearts believe that lie anyway. And we admit that none of us will be able to take even one penny with us into eternity. And yet how much time and how much effort and how much energy is expended in trying to increase our money, our possessions, our stuff. And don't miss David's warning here. The wealth of the world is nothing to God. So if your wealth increases, don't be boastful or put your trust in your money. Now, David was not on public assistance when he wrote these words. Okay? He was the king of Israel. He was undoubtedly the wealthiest man in the country. But along the way, David had learned that wealth and stuff provides very little real or lasting security in this life. And it's irrelevant when it comes to eternity. Don't put your trust in stuff. Now, speaking of money, let me just say something about financial giving to the Lord's work right here. If you give back to the Lord less than the tithe, 10% of your income, you have a God plus stuff way of life. The fact is that you don't truly believe God will meet your needs and allow you to live on 90% of your income. Instead, you believe that money provides a level of security that simple obedience to God does not and will not. And there's an interesting fact about money that David sort of alludes to in that verse that we looked at, 62:10. You might think that the more money that you make, the easier it'll be to tithe. Wrong. David said it's really the opposite. The more money you make, the greater will be the temptation to trust in it, and the harder it will be to give what you should to the Lord and to his work. Today, July 1, begins our new fiscal year here at KRBC. And it's likely that we finished last year, yesterday, June 30th, running a deficit. That means that we spent more money than we took in the last fiscal year. Now, fortunately, we've got reserve funds we can use to cover the difference. But here's what I know. If all of us were tithing, even if more of us were tithing, this church wouldn't have a financial deficit. And I don't know what you or anyone else gives. I don't have that information, don't want it. But I do know the more money that you make, so if your wealth increases, the more difficult it is to keep on tithing because the amount that you give away to the Lord becomes more and more and more significant. There is one very simple and very effective way to prevent putting ultimate trust in money or stuff. Tithe. Tithe. What do most people trust in? A well-paying job? You could lose it tomorrow. A comfortable home? It could burn down tomorrow. Investments? They could be lost tomorrow. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing sinful about stuff. Most of the time, it's good and it's worthwhile. In fact, just don't allow stuff to sit on the throne of your life and become what you put your ultimate security in. Only God deserves that kind and that level of trust. God plus something else ways of life. They're deceptive because none of them reject God outright. They're dangerous, however, because they try subtly to raise something else to the level of God in your life and in mine. Those who trust in God and anything else end up without Him and nothing else. One of the most dangerous things that you and I can ever do in this life is to put our ultimate trust and security in anything or anyone else but God alone. God only. However, those who trust in the Lord only have Him and everything else. In other words, there's a God-only way of life. That's the other choice that you and I have, a God-only way of life. You know, it's been my experience, myself included, that we kind of get forced into a God-only way of life by dealing with unpleasant circumstances in our lives. Adversity, crisis, trouble, it just has a way of revealing what or who we trust in. And when we run for help, where we run for help is a good indicator of where we place our ultimate trust. So let me ask you a question that I also need to ask myself. When all the other props that we depend on in this life, family, friends, our own intelligence, our own abilities, our own resources, financial or otherwise, when they fail to support us, will God still be there? Absolutely. When we run to God for refuge and protection and help, we can expect His help and His blessing. That's what David discovered. That's what this song is all about, this psalm. Only God is my Savior, and He will not fail me, for He alone is my safe place. His wraparound presence always protects me as my champion defender. There's no risk of failure with God. So why would I let worry paralyze me, even when troubles multiply around me? Trust only in God every moment. Tell Him all your troubles and pour out your heart longings to Him. Believe me when I tell you, He will help you. You know, even though David became a king, a great king, he was well acquainted with the great ups and downs of life. And as much as I dislike trouble and as much as I dislike tests in my life, I have to admit that they have a way of stripping away from me anything else but God alone, God only. And more often than not, that's when you and I move into a God-only way of life. So the Lord helps us with that, sometimes with the unpleasant circumstances that we find ourselves in. Years ago now, I had the opportunity to travel through England. And I got to admit something to you. I went a little castle crazy. I guess maybe because, you know, there just aren't a whole lot of castles in the United States. I was fascinated by them, and I went to as many of them as I could find. And most of them were, you know, hundreds of years old, but still very solid, very formidable structures. And I tried to imagine the battles in and around those castles and realized how hard it must have been to get to, much less defeat someone who's holed up in a castle. It's not easy. And David compared God to a castle fortress. When God alone is our castle, our fortress, defeat is impossible. And in a life that's always uncertain and unchanging, God alone remains strong and stable and absolutely reliable, like a castle set up on a hill. David writes here, he says, "He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, where I will never be shaken." There's another little word in this psalm that's just as important as the word alone or only. It's the word my. God wasn't just an abstract concept for David. God was a person who interacted with David and did things for him. I wonder if you can say this morning about God what David said about God. Only God is my Savior, and He will not fail me. For He alone is my safe place. His wraparound presence always protects me as my champion defender. And when you put your trust in God's stability and in God's reliability, when you rest in Him and His sufficiency, your life inevitably takes on a new stability and a new calmness. In a few moments, we're going to come to the Lord's table. I want you to ask yourself this question: How can I express my trust in God alone today? What does that look like? How do you do that? Well, this psalm, I suggest, offers to you and me a couple of possibilities. First, just be silent and rest in God this morning. Here's how David put it: "I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from Him." When you think about your life today, what do you feel? Maybe you're all sort of tied up in knots, or maybe your heart starts to race a little bit. And trusting in God involves just a quiet expectation, a restful confidence in God, right in the very midst of life's anxieties and problems. Just be silent in God's presence. Just rest in Him. Relax. Be still and know that He is God. Here's an image from Scripture of what silence and trust and rest look like. This verse from another psalm: "I am humbled and quieted in your presence, like a contented child who rests on its mother's lap. I'm your resting child, and my soul is content in you." So just picture that, a baby just nestled there on his or her mother's lap. Contentment, restfulness, peacefulness. That's what God offers you, and He offers me. Some years ago, a speedboat driver talked about how he survived a racing accident. He was traveling at top speed. His boat veered slightly, hit a wave at a dangerous angle, and the boat just went spinning crazily into the air. He was thrown out of his seat, out of the boat, and then propelled deep into the water. So deep, in fact, that he had no idea what direction the surface was at. Completely disoriented. And he had to just remain calm and wait for the buoyancy of his life vest to begin pulling him back up to the surface. And once he discovered which way was up, he was able to swim to the surface and to safety. And sometimes, folks, we find ourselves surrounded by so many confusing options and overwhelming problems. It's hard to know which way is up. Remain calm. That's what Scripture says here. Wait for God's gentle tug to pull you up in the right direction. And your life vest may turn out to be a specific Scripture verse, or maybe it's another follower of Jesus who speaks into your life, or maybe it's a Sunday message, or a book, or a strong impression from the Holy Spirit. The key is just simply recognizing your dependency on God and putting your trust in Him alone. Now, that's the first way to just show or express trust in the Lord only. The other way is, ironically, exactly the opposite. Pour out your heart to God. And David recommends that here as well in this psalm. He says, "Join me, everyone. Trust only in God every moment. tell him all your troubles and pour out your heart longings to him. Believe me when I tell you, he will help you. So instead of quietness and stillness and silence, maybe you just need to pour out your heart to God as you come to his table today. Tell him about all your frustrations. What you're angry about, what you're sad about, and what you're feeling guilty over, what you're feeling disappointed over. You know, we all have those issues in our lives. Maybe it's massive problems at home. Maybe it's dreading returning to the place that you work tomorrow. Maybe there's some hostile feelings between you and your spouse, or between you and your parents, or between you and your kids. Maybe you're worried about a loved one for some reason. Maybe there's a health concern, either in your life or in the life of someone that you care about. Maybe you're carrying a sense of guilt that you just can't escape. Perhaps somebody has offended you and you're really struggling with feelings of resentment this morning. Maybe you're full of fear. Perhaps you're approaching some kind of major crossroads in your life and you really don't know which direction you need to go. When you come to the table today, spend those moments just pouring out your heart to God. And when you do that, just be assured he never rejects you. He never turns away from you. Through the Holy Spirit who lives within you, God will let you know that he hears you, that he loves you, that he understands what you're feeling. He will give you a new sense of his peace. You'll find yourself praising God as you give him your problems. I hope, like David, you'll be able to say, God said to me once and for all the strength and power you need flows from me. And again, I heard it clearly said, all the love you need is found in me. Isn't that the message of the Lord's table today? For you and for me, what it represents, what it symbolizes, all God's strength and power and love is available to you and to me. Years ago, there was a woman who had really just reached the end of her own rope. Things had just gone from bad to worse. Her husband was chronically ill. He'd lost his job. Financial reversals meant that the family had to give up the home that they lived in. There were five children to feed and clothe. And this dear woman had done everything she knew how to do. She had gone out trying to find employment, hadn't been able to find it. And every day, things just got worse and worse and worse, just deteriorated. And so finally, one day, she just really hit bottom. She was desperate. She had no hope. And so she took her five-year-old daughter and they went up to the bedroom. And she found some rags and she found some pieces of newspaper and she stuffed them in and around the windows in the bedroom. And then she turned on the gas heater that was in the bedroom, but she didn't light it. She lay down on the bed and she put her arm around her little daughter. And as she lay there, she could hear the gas escaping from the heater, but she also heard something else. She realized that she'd forgotten to turn off the radio. And someone was singing an old hymn on the radio just at that very moment. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And God used that song at that moment to speak into the heart and the life of that desperate woman. She got up. She realized that she was about to make a tragic mistake. She turned off the heater. She opened the windows and she began to pray. She thanked God for who he was and for all of his blessings. She thanked him for the gift of life. She thanked him for her five children. And she promised that she would never forget her faith again. In a few moments, I'm going to invite you to come forward and receive the bread and the cup, symbolizing the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that as you come, and when you come, that you'll just allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your life and heart about any kind of a God plus something else way of life that perhaps you've subscribed to. And if he does, then repent of it, turn away from it. And then realize again that because of Jesus' death and his resurrection for you and for me, we have the privilege of living a God-only way of life in which we depend completely and utterly and finally on God alone. Would you say this little quote with me today? It's a great one. Those who trust in God only have him and everything else. Those who trust in God and anything else end up without him and nothing else. Let's pray. Father, we just confess before you today, we declare before you today that you are the only one in the entire universe and in our individual lives that deserves our ultimate trust. Yes, you give us people. Yes, you give us society and culture and institution. Yes, you give us stuff. But Lord, none of that is worthy of our trust. And so we confess today that you alone are worthy of it. And we confess also, Lord, that sometimes we put our trust in other things besides you. We repent of that today. We ask for your forgiveness. And we ask that you help us today to move back into a God-only way of life. Lord, I don't know everybody here, but I know that all of us perhaps have struggles and issues of one kind going on in our life experience today. Lord, I pray that on the one hand, some of us, maybe we just need to be silent and relax and rest in your presence today. Perhaps others of us, Lord, we just need to pour out our hearts before you and tell you what it is that is troubling us this morning. Lord, whatever that may be, I pray that as we come to the table, which represents your strength and your power and your love for us, that it would be a moment in which you speak into our lives and assure us of who you are and all that you have done for us. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.